Our Bible reading this morning is taken from two different books in the New Testament. Our first reading comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And now reading from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. May God bless this reading of His holy word.
Rock stars. Fabulous. Thank you does not begin to express our gratitude. You are amazing. These are words from a letter this church received from a community nonprofit this past week. And I'm going to read the whole letter to you at the end of this message. But this letter was talking about you, the Church of Jesus Christ. Today in this communion meditation, I want to remind you what a privilege it is to be a part of the body of Christ, His church, and remind you again how special it is. What a high calling and what an opportunity it is to be gathered together here today as the ecclesia. Ecclesia in the Greek means an assembly of God's people called out from others to worship and serve Him. And when the world, you see, sees this community, their jaw's supposed to drop. Fabulous, amazing, so grateful. Thank God for the church. That's the witness we're meant to be out there. Being the church is no ho-hum, sleepy kind of deal where we moderately engage on Sunday mornings and then go home feeling slightly better because we got to see our friends after worship. Some philosophers have said that the church is just another social institution designed to keep us all in line, following a moral code. It's good for civilization. Maybe you've read some of those authors. I certainly have. However, for those of us who have experienced a taste of the wonder of who God is, for those of us who know the power of community and the way God works in and through His people, being a part of the church is the most exciting, revolutionary thing we could ever participate in. I love the church. I always have. Why? Because being a part of a church means that I am part of a place that pulsates with limitless possibility and the very life of God. Think about it, folks. God Almighty dwells here in our midst when we gather together. We gather because of Him, and Scripture tells us nothing is impossible with God. Scripture tells us that we are called as His people to passionate worship, and that we're two or three. I think there's at least two or three of you here this morning. If you're here, raise your hand. All right, there's more than two or three. Scripture tells us where two or three are gathered in My name. What? There I am in the midst. So God is with us today in this place now. And that's the God of the Old Testament. That's the God of the New Testament. That's the God of the Exodus. That's the God of the fire, the pillar of cloud. That's the God of Jesus Christ who lived and died for us. He's in our midst right now, that same God of history, alive with us now. Closer than maybe you dare believe, ready to answer you right now, ready to move, ready to forgive, ready to bless, ready to comfort, ready to amaze you with his presence, folks. The late Dallas Willard, contemporary theologian, defines the church as the aim of God in history. Here's what he says about the church. The aim of God in history is the creation of an all-inclusive community, the church, of loving persons with himself included in that community as its prime sustainer and most glorious inhabitant. Then Willard defines God as follows. God is the happiest, most joyful being in the universe. I like that definition. So imagine being in a community with the happiest, most joyful being in the universe at your side. I mean, I would join up, wouldn't you? I sure would. And that glorious inhabitant of the church is its prime sustainer, your creator, your divine companion, your eager and friendly God. The most joyful being in the universe is the prime sustainer of the church, and that's why God intends the church to be the most joy-filled place on earth. That's God's intent. Now you and I, if you've been in the church for a while, can probably think of lots of ways that church falls short of that vision. For some of us, the church doesn't even come close to being a joy-filled community. Maybe we think of church as a place where we've been hurt or told we are no good and we have to try harder. Or churches where someone told us when we were young that God was going to get you. Or we were frowned upon and judged. Or we were told in church not to use our brains because they are sinful things that we just have to believe without thinking. Or sometimes church think that that's where hypocrites are, people who say one thing and do another. Sometimes people think church is where we find leaders who manipulate and who don't care for their people. Now, of course, every church has human beings in it. And it is prone to human weakness. No place is without sin and difficulty. I know, though, that here at West Valley, we have at least tried to operate out of the awareness that as a church, we are meant to be a hospital for sinners, not a judgment hall for the righteous. Because no one is righteous, no, not one. Jesus is our righteousness for us. And because of this, we are meant to be a dancing people, dancing with delight that we have been healed and set free by the most joyful being in the universe, God himself. Not looking down our noses at each other or spending time criticizing, moralizing, even patronizing. That has nothing to do with being the church. In fact, it's completely contradictory to it. We are meant to be a unified people with one God as our parent. You know, we may disagree about some things, but we are brothers and sisters because we have one God, one parent who is our Lord. As the church and as a unified people, we are meant to be a witnessing body, pointing to the God who has given us life and sharing his love with others. That's the church. What a terrific community empowered by the most joyful being who loves and sustains the universe itself. Wow. You're part of that. Are you with me? Are you with me? Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. All right. I would love it if everyone who came in here one time walked out those doors thinking, I've never felt as if I belong to something so much. I've never felt so loved. I've never been aware of a community that breathed and lived and talked and walked the very nature of God as in this church right here. I would love that. That's my prayer for this place. Now, for those of you who know the church, I want you to imagine for a moment, just humor me, that you've been in a coma for a month and you lost all memory. There you go. That's you. You've been in a coma. And you have lost your memory about everything you've experienced that was negative about the church, all right? and you come out of your coma. You know, you've forgotten about all those you've decided were hypocrites, and you've forgotten about how they only sing your favorite hymn once in a blue moon to the wrong tune. And you've forgotten about the jello salad you ate at the potluck that you didn't like, that ran into all the other stuff and flavored them wrong. You forgot about the way they misspelled your name in the bulletin. You forgot about the thing someone said that darkened your view of someone in leadership, even though you had no idea if it was true or not. You don't even remember the boring sermon on a hot summer day one time when you thought you couldn't bear it one more minute. All right? You've forgotten that. I told you I was raised in a black church, and when the preacher was on, everybody would say, "Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen." And when the preacher went too long, they'd always say, "Help him, Jesus, help him." Your coma has eradicated any memory of boring or irrelevant or hurtful judgmental stuff. And as you wake from your coma, an angel walks into your room, points at you and says, "Hello, welcome back. You've been chosen." And you say, "Who, me?" "Yes," says the angel, "you've been called out." Again, the meaning of the church, ecclesia, gathering, called out. You have been called out and filled with the very life of the most joyful being in the universe, God himself. And you think, "Yeah, I am feeling kind of joyful right now. After all, I just came out of a coma." And the angel continues, "You see, God has given you these gifts, for you have a purpose and a calling that can only be done in community with others. It is so important," the angel says, "that you be in this community, because the world will be lost without it. And you only have a certain number of days to fulfill this calling together." And you say, "Oh my goodness, what is this calling?" And the angel says, "You, with a select group of others, are to be Christ's body here on earth. His very body, his being. You are to be Jesus on earth, continuing on with what he started. He's put you here for that purpose." And the angel continues, "You're going to be involved in some cutting-edge stuff. Stuff the world won't like. For instance, maybe standing up for the truth. Or you might be asked to give until it hurts. It's not going to be easy. But you have been called out to be different, to point to a different way of life, different priorities, different goals. And you've been given these gifts to use for this purpose, unique only to you, to help the body of Christ be whole." And you're sort of taken aback and you said, "Well, I don't know. This sounds rather daunting." And the angel responds, "If you don't say yes to this call, to using these gifts that you've been given, the body of Christ will be hampered. It will limp to the finish line, or be blind in one eye, or unable to use its hands, or be mute or deaf. This would be terrible. If you are not involved, the body of Christ, the church, will suffer. You are a critical piece of this mission, and you have been given so much. Life itself, folks, is a gift, right?" An angel says, "And you've been given so much more than that even. Your call is to use your gifts to bring life to the body of Christ, to make the body of Christ healthy and strong so it can function in the world as a change agent and do what Jesus did, continue on with what he began." And the angel asks you, "Are you ready for the adventure of a lifetime? Are you ready to see miracles happen and lives changed? Are you ready?" Because, the angel says, you get to be a part of this dynamic, spirit-filled, life-giving, transforming, Jesus-centered community that witnesses to the truth, sees God's hand at work, and brings people to God. You've been given gifts to this end. Use them. Use them. What will your answer be? See, as a pastor, I know that the greatest danger in the church today is people not being willing to step forward and use their gifts, their God-given abilities to shape and transform the Church of Jesus Christ. A colleague I know shared this about his family. I think it's relevant. He said this. My great aunts, he said, lived their entire lives in a house that my great-grandfather built in the 1800s. The most special room in that home was called the parlor. How many of you had a parlor growing up? Anybody live in that area? Okay, so So they had a parlor, and it was they saved it for when something real special, someone real special came over to their house. But you know what? no one that special ever came over to their house, so they never used the parlor, he said. He went on, my grandmother was given one piece of china on every special occasion, birthday, commencement, confirmation, etc. It was valuable, and they didn't have much money. Because it was so valuable, she would wrap it up in paper and put it in a box and store it for a real special occasion. No occasion that special ever came. And my grandmother went to her grave without using the greatest gift she had ever been given. She kept her gift in a box. What about you? Are you engaged in being the body of Christ here in Cupertino, using your gifts, taking them out, using them here to strengthen this church? Unless we are all involved using what God has given us, we come up short as a body. We need you all. Don't ever sit there and think that others are volunteering and you are not needed. We need you engaged and alive. God has given you gifts for this place. Please use them. Last week, as I mentioned earlier, we had service worship. Those of you that came made a difference together. The words I read to you at the beginning of this sermon came from a letter from those at Unity Care that recognized the life-changing, dynamic body of Christ in action. Here's the letter. Good evening, West Valley team. Your entire team are rock stars. I speak for all of us at Unity Care.